We're continuing on with our look at some of the questions asked by the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 8, verse 21 is our text for this evening. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, said unto them, the disciples, how is it that ye do not understand? I read a comment during the week which I thought was very applicable for tonight's message. And it said, not everyone that has a brain uses it. And he gave an illustration. He said, I heard of a story of a woman who was pulled over by the police for speeding. And the officer approached her car and kindly asked if he might see the woman's driving license. And she huffed and she puffed for a bit. And she said, I wish you would make up your mind. Yesterday, you take my license away, and today, you want me to show it to you again. Some people that have a brain don't always use it. Again, not just the ladies, we'll balance it out, I suppose. There was also a man that I'd heard of, Matthew maybe knows who I'm speaking of. He went to a pizza shop, and he ordered pizza for his tea, and the question was asked, do you want the pizza cut into 6 slices or 8? And he thought for a moment and said, better make it 6. I don't think I could eat 8 slices. Well, having a brain and using it are 2 completely different things. And if we're honest, it's not just the drivers nor the pizza eaters. We all have those moments when our mind, well, I was going to say it goes into neutral. Sometimes it goes into reverse. It works backwards than the way that it should do. And we say and we do things that people around us will just shake their head and wonder just whether anything is going on in that grey matter at all. And if we look at the disciples as they followed the Lord Jesus, we find that on occasions, the things that they say and the things that they do make us wonder whether the Lord actually picked the right group of disciples at all to follow him and to be the ones that he would use in the work of his kingdom. Now, obviously, with hindsight, with the exception of Judas, all of the disciples go on to become the foundation for the expansion and the success of the Lord's church, indicating that they eventually did understand and they eventually did get it. But here in Mark chapter 8, there's an incident recorded for us in which the disciples simply do not understand what the Lord is doing. And he asks them the question, how is it that ye do not understand? The Lord's trying to teach them a spiritual lesson, but they're so oblivious to what's going on around them. They're so blind to the things that are right in front of their face, their response is just one of stupidity, of thoughtlessness and carelessness. And the Lord finally indicts them, saying, how is it, after so long and all that you've seen, that you still don't understand? And these 12 disciples were slow learning disciples. But they're not the slowest learning disciples the Lord has ever had. There's still a few of us amongst the number that take a little time to understand. Well, let's look at this passage and see what it is that the Lord is questioning them about and what we find happening. We find the disciples in this passage concerned about the material things of the world. The material things. We've got a little snapshot of a day in the life of a disciple here in Mark chapter 8. The chapter begins with the Lord Jesus feeding a crowd of 4,000 people with only 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. And the disciples, following the meal, collect up the leftovers and their 7 baskets full. Now, right on the heels of that spectacular event, the Lord Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees. They've come and they've challenged him to perform some great sign in order to prove that he really is the Messiah. As if feeding 4,000 people with a few loaves and fishes wasn't a great enough sign. But the Lord refuses to play their game. And in verse 13, you find he simply leaves them and entered into the ship and departed over to the other side. The Lord and his disciples get into the boat and sail away to their next location. Now, you would think that the disciples would spend the next part of the journey talking about and contemplating the significance of today's events. Certainly, they should be concerned about the Master and his work. But while they're crossing the lake, the disciples still have bread upon their mind. Well, not just so much bread, but bread that they had forgotten to bring with them. They realized that even though they collected 7 baskets full, they didn't bring it on the boat. And you can imagine the discussion amongst them. Oh, brother, we had 7 baskets full of bread back there on the shore, and we were in such a rush to get into the boat and get moving again that we left them all behind. Now I'm getting hungry, and we don't even have enough bread for one of us, never mind all of us. And the Lord Jesus knows exactly what they're thinking. And he wants to use their forgetfulness as an opportunity to teach them a much needed lesson. And we're going to eavesdrop on what takes place in this conversation between the Lord and his men. Because it's quite striking that instead of celebrating a wonderful day in the service of the Lord, notice what their concern is. Well, look at verse 15. The Lord, he charged them, saying, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye yet not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart hardened? They're so caught up on the bread that they're losing sight of what the Savior's actually talking about, the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Herodians. And how that reminds us that so often we're concerned about the wrong things. We get caught up on the material things and we miss out on the spiritual lessons. Notice how narrow their concerns are. The Lord has been doing great things. The sick are being healed. The blind are seeing again. Lepers are being cleansed. The dead religion of the Pharisees is being confronted. And yet the disciples of the Lord Jesus only seem to think about bread. And they're not alone, because in many ways we're the same. We spend the majority of our time focusing upon ourselves and upon our current situation, at the things that we have or the things that we don't have. Let me tell one another that the world needs the Lord Jesus Christ, that the gospel must be proclaimed, and yet sometimes we hear the only thing they seem to concern about was, well, why did the preacher speak so long today? Or the temperature of the room wasn't exactly to their liking. And the Lord Jesus has the question there, verse 18, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? How small and narrow their concerns, and how needless. That same morning, these 12 men watched the Lord Jesus take 7 loaves, break them and bless them, and distribute them to the feeding of 4,000 people. And now their discussion about a lack of bread, we've only got 1 loaf amongst so many. How fruitless, how needless this conversation in light of everything that's happened already today. But we have to be careful. We can't be overly hard on the disciples unless we're going to be prepared to be hard on ourselves, because there's times that we are spiritually dull as well. We fret over little things. Now, they might not seem little to us at the time. We can fret over the houses and clothes and doctor's appointments and bills that have to be paid, and they all seem to be pretty large things. But ultimately, in the light of the Lord and his kingdom and eternity to come, they're such small things. And the disciples, they're concerned about material things when the Lord is interested in the spiritual. So while they're interested in the material, they're actually clueless about the spiritual. This busy day that's winding down in the boat, heading out across the water, the Lord speaking about the confrontation that they've just had with the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They're arguing about who forgot the bread and whose responsibility it ought to have been to make sure that the baskets were packed. And they're perhaps, well, going round in discussion, well, who's going to get the last piece? The Lord Jesus is speaking about taking heed of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. There's a spiritual lesson here, guys, that I want you to understand. Listen up. There's something for you that you need to pay attention to. Verse 16 tells us that they reasoned. This discussion about the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod is because we have brought no bread. They seem to have spiritual blinkers on that they can't even see beyond the physical, that the Lord is dealing with something far more important. Isn't that what happens when we put our eyes on the things of the world, that they become all important and the Lord Jesus and his importance becomes diminished in our view? The Lord has come to them and charged them. This isn't just a discussion. He's charging them. Listen up. This is important. I want you to take notes about this. Write it down. Underline it. Take heed. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. This is an important spiritual statement. And they've completely missed the significance of it. The Lord is warning them about the evils of the Pharisees. And they totally miss the message. They're focused on a physical realm. And at the end of the day, they're really no different than the Pharisees. The Pharisees came in verse 11 and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. Now, they'd just seen a great miracle. They've witnessed what the Lord Jesus could do, but they've refused to believe. The disciples are making the same mistake. They had been with Jesus. They've witnessed many of his miracles. They've seen him multiply bread on a number of occasions. The multitudes have been fed, and still they can't understand how the Lord could take care of them. They're worried about bread when they've only got one loaf. Didn't they realize that the Lord could take that loaf and feed them all? Have they not yet understood that the one who stands before them is able to do so much with so little? Now, it's one thing for the unbelieving Pharisees to reject the witness of the Lord Jesus, but it's another thing altogether when those who claim to know and love him make the same mistakes. They fail to see how the Lord could meet their needs. And when the Lord warned them of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Herodians, they reasoned among themselves, it's because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand. Are you really so clueless about spiritual things? What is the Lord warning them about here? He's warning them about the danger of being engaged in a religious worship that was merely external, an outward form of worship. And he's seeking to develop within them a cautiousness and an intelligence about the things that they'll face when they have to go out with the message of the gospel. That there could be an outward conformity to the message and yet no real change at a heart level. And they're so focused on bread that they're missing what the Savior's teaching. And we're much the same. There's lessons, spiritual lessons, the Lord would teach us, cause us to grow in grace, or to bring about a change in our life and our behaviour, or to help us to be overcomers of this world and of sin. And we're so captivated by the things of this world and the things that we think that we have need of that we fail to learn the spiritual. And we miss out on what the Lord is teaching us. And rather than going on in our Christian life, we're stuck. We have our eyes caught in the things of the world. These foolish disciples, concerned only about the material things, clueless about the spiritual things, and calloused and hardened towards the supernatural things. What's so astounding about this whole passage, and what's almost comical to an extent, that this whole scene, well, it takes place right after these men have watched the Lord Jesus take loaves and fish and feed upwards to 10,000 people with just a handful of food. They've seen the little boy come with his lunch for the day and give it to the Saviour, and the Saviour feed 5,000. And just a little while later, they've watched the 7 loaves multiplied to the feeding of 4,000. They've witnessed the miracles in the past, and yet their hearts are hardened to the possibility of the Lord doing the same again. And I say that because the Bible is filled with accounts of how the Lord has worked wondrously in the lives of his people. And he's able to do for them exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And we look at the marvelous deliverances that he's given to his people, the way the Lord has brought about his plans and his purposes in spite of the failings of men. And yet we think today that somehow the Lord's arm has been shortened, that it cannot save, that the Lord has somehow abdicated his throne and no longer possesses the power to do today as he has done yesterday. And we become like the disciples. We begin to consider that these things, well, they couldn't happen today. And yet if we take the time to think about it, we will probably have occasions in our lives when we will have seen the Lord at work in great and mighty ways. And yet the disciples see no potential for the miraculous here. The Lord accuses them of having eyes and seeing not, and having ears and hearing not, and you do not remember. You don't remember. Is it really that long ago? Have you really forgotten what happened the last two occasions? There was a shortage of bread, and there wasn't enough to go around. And how I took that insufficient amount and multiplied it until there was more than was needed. And now you're discussing a similar situation, and not one of you has even thought, well, the Lord has done this in the past, he can do it again. You've seen the miraculous occur. And yet you fail to trust me for the future. You've seen me working in the past, but you're afraid to trust me for the future. I believe the Lord still works mightily on behalf of his people in ways that we couldn't possibly have imagined. I believe the Lord is still able. But I wonder if, like the disciples, we have ruled that it's not possible for the Lord to help this time. We have stopped counting on the Lord, and we have started counting our loaves and wondering, how are we going to make this last? That's quite sad, because not only have they forgotten all that they've seen previously, but they've forgotten the one before whom they're standing. It's the Lord Jesus who's in the boat with them. And none of the disciples even think to come and ask him what he can do. Hadn't they seen him feed the 5,000? Didn't they see him feed the 4,000? Didn't they hear his words and the things that he taught? Have they forgotten his mighty creative power? Didn't they see him raise the sick? Are their hearts really so hardened that they cannot possibly imagine that the Savior could yet bless them again? And so the Lord asked them specifically, when I break the five loaves amongst the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 12. Why 12? Well, one for each of them. One for each of them, lest they forget. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. Why 7? Well, that's what the Lord took to begin with. And after he'd ministered to everyone, there were still 7 baskets left. A reminder to them that the Lord's power did not need to be replenished by any earthly source. And he wants them to remember who it is they're dealing with. Who is it that's in the boat with you? It's the Son of God. The one who was able to stand on the edge of eternity and speak all things into creation. Who by the word of his power, all things were formed and created that were formed and created. The one who was able to stand at the door of Lazarus' tomb and call for him to come forth. Or to go into the room of the little maid and take her by the hand and say, little maid, arise. Able to speak to the wind and the waves and tell it to be still. Have you really forgotten who is in the boat with you? Do you really think that 12 loaves is too much for him? The unbelief amongst his own men seems to have frustrated the Lord, if I can use that term. How is it that you do not understand? And we're just like them. But I trust the next time that there's a crisis of faith, that rather than reacting in fear and wondering what are we going to do, we will look to the Lord. And we will take time and we will reflect upon what he has done previously, and we will remember his great power is already evidenced in our life. That's what the Lord calls upon them to do. Do ye not remember, there at the verse 18, when Israel come out of the wilderness and were preparing to enter Canaan, you'll remember that they came to the river Jordan, and the river was overflowing its banks at that time of the year. Well, the priests were told to go forth with the Ark of the Covenant, and as soon as their feet touched the waters rolled back. And the people were able to cross over in dry land. And then the Lord instructed Joshua, tell the people to take up 12 stones, one for each tribe, and place them in the midst of the river, heap them up in a pile, and then when the water comes back, this monument will stand in the midst of the river, and it will be a reminder to them of the great power of God that delivered them and kept them and preserved them and prepared the way before them. It will stand as a memorial forever to the power of God. And then when father and son were passing by and the little lad would see the stones in the river, he would say to his dad, Dad, what are these stones about? And there would be an occasion for them to teach again the great power of God. It would serve as a memorial to them. Well, maybe we need to set up some memorials and to stop and to think about the mountains that God has moved in our lives. And the waters that he's rolled back. And the enemy's hand that he has stopped. And to remember again those times when God has answered our prayers. And we should have a memorial to the Lord of his great and wondrous power. Stop and think about all the prayers that he's answered. Those times when he's brought in his peace to our life. When there seems only to be turmoil in the world around us. Those dark times when he caused his light to shine upon us. When he seemed to bless us for no apparent reason other than he wished to bless us. Set up a memorial. Stop and think of how the Lord saved you. When we were still in our sins and still unlovely, with no desire nor heart for God, nor seeking after him, yet in his mercy he came to us. And he gave us a new heart, and he caused us to call upon him, and he saved us, and he keeps us, and he's preparing a place in glory for us. Oh, that we would remember. And may those monuments begin to heap up until we can't escape. We are reminded time and time again of all that the Lord has done for us. And we realize that if the Lord has done all of these great things and many more beside, then there's nothing in my life that he cannot handle. That's what the Lord's seeking to teach his disciples. It's not the things that you hold in your hands that matter. It's not the bread. It's the one who can make the bread, the Lord himself. And remember that he it is that walks with you. That if he's in the boat with you, you don't have to worry about where the bread is going to come from. He's able to take your little and make it a lot. Child of God, the best thing that we can do today is learn to trust him, and trust him more, and trust him wholly and fully and without reservation. Because we have his promise, he will not fail us. He will not leave us. He will keep us. So when the Lord came to his disciples and they're wondering as to where their bread is going to come from, listen again to the question of the Savior. How is it that you don't understand? You're worried about these little material things. You're failing to see the spiritual things, and you're hard-hearted towards the supernatural things. Have you really forgotten who I am and what I can do and my great promises to you? May we not be slow to learn. May we not have our brains disengaged, but may we think upon the Lord, who he is and what he has done and what he has promised for us. And may we learn to trust him more and more each day. He is worthy of that trust. He has not and he will not fail us. And until that day that he brings us to glory, we have his abiding promise that he will ever be with us. Oh, may we understand this and take all of our todays and tomorrows and place them in his hands, because he is able. We are not able, but he is able. And may we trust him. Trust him fully. And the Lord help us to do that. Amen.